Praise God. We'll go ahead now and get into the message. And the name of the message today is going to be part 8, called Come Out From Among Them, part 8. And it's about the Israelites coming out of Egypt. Oh, what a story that is. What a picture-perfect story, talking about men and women coming out of the grips of the satanic hold of the world. Amen? Coming out from among them, from all the traps and snares and the devious things that the world will put in place to cause you to stumble and trip up. Oh, but thank God we have hope in the living God. Thank God there is hope in the one true God, able to deliver, able to expel wicked devils, demons, and evil spirits from His people. Able to deliver, able to redeem. We thank God for that, because God is the one true God, and there is no other God under heaven by which man must be redeemed and saved, the name Jesus Christ. No other name, no other God, no other way. So we thank God for what He's doing now. Oh, we live in a time and a day and age now, truly, where things are starting to fall apart. We know that because we see that. But we know that more than that, because we know it's written in the Word of God. By faith we know and believe the Word of God, because it is written. It is written by the finger of God, by the hand of God. And everything that the Lord writes in the Word of God is true, has been, always will be. Isn't that right? We can trust in that living Word. We can trust in the living God who wrote that living Word, who breathes living life into each person. If we would just take a step now by faith and believe that God, who is able to redeem and deliver and set free, if we would just take a step by faith and say, I've had it with the world, I'm sick of the world, and I'm going to follow after the Lord. Forget about what the world does. Forget about what the flesh is calling me to do. No. We're to forsake the flesh. We're to forsake all those things that the devil will use that would try and cause you to fall flat on your face, and that you would be a mockery. You would be made a mockery, mocking God's name, mocking God's Word, mocking God's Spirit, because you live a lie. If you're living a lie, you're mocking God. Do you know that sin is a quarrel with God? Did you know that? Yes, it is. And what is Satan's delight? To revel in every woe and hurt that he can cause his people. Laughing in delight to see that how he can cause you and me to trip up and to bring a bad name on the name of Jesus, to be a bad witness, to give us all kinds of guilt, so that we lose our victory, we lose our witness. We're not able to stand. When the tempest comes our way, what are we going to do? We won't have the confidence. And we won't have the confidence when the Lord comes back. That's why we need to live holy and separated lives. We need to be right with God, above par, above reproach. Isn't that right? Isn't that what the Word of God expressly teaches us today? Of course it does. Always has. Always will. There is no other way but the one way. Well, anyone who's ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the Lord Himself will be ashamed of them. Let's go now to the book of Exodus, chapter 13. I want you to know that there is hope. I want you to know that the Lord provides great hope to His own, doesn't He? Did you know that? Did you know that there is a hope out there? That hope is in the anchor of life. That hope is in the one true anchor, that rock. We know who that is, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you lose hold of that anchor, oh, you have nothing left to hang on to. So let's go there now. Chapter 13 in the book of Exodus, it goes on to say now, "And the Lord spake unto Moses," saying, oh, isn't that nice? Isn't that a wonderful thing? To hear the voice of God speaking to you in the wilderness. Speaking to you in the midst of every tumult, every situation in your life, that He's able to speak to you. And that you can hear His voice and obey it. Oh my. Goes on to say here, "Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine." It is God's. Did you know that you're not your own? You're not your own. Not according to 1 Corinthians 6:15 and through 20. Why don't we just quickly go there? I do have a few places I do want to go today in the Word of God. And just to cement that in there, I just want you to see with your own eyes. Oh, with your own eyes. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And it says here, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ?" That your bodies are the members of Christ? "Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot?" Oh, God forbid. God forbid. God forbid that I should go out into some bar or some strip joint after I have been naming the name of Jesus as my Lord, God, and Savior, Redeemer. Right? God forbid. That I should spit on the name of Jesus. That I should slap away that hand of gracious mercy from the hand that so graciously saved me from sin, death, and hell. Oh, God forbid. What? Know ye not, this is in verse 16 now. Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? Did you know that? Spirit and body, both flesh and spirit melded together. You begin to act, you begin to talk, think, and do those things that are an abomination before God. Isn't that right? When you begin to act like the world and talk like the world and go out and do things like the world does, pretty soon you're going to be just like them. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Just like there is one baptism. There is one God, one Word, one Spirit. There is one sacrifice made one time for all time. Not many. God didn't change His mind. He's not so wishy-washy, and He's not a God that He's got to do something over because it wasn't done right the first time. No. That's not the God I serve. No. Look at this. In verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Can you see this now? Paul is trying to get your attention. It says, what? Can you see this, folks? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. That blood of Jesus wasn't cheaply used. The blood of Christ isn't cheap. It's going to cost you something when you serve God. It cost the Lord His blood. Amen? It cost the Lord Jesus the blood on the cross as He died for you and me. Oh, but it goes on to say here in verse 20, therefore, can you see that? You know that. You see that. Therefore, what do? Glorify God. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are not your own. You have no right to your own unless you want to rebel and make it your own. Isn't that right? Let's just go back to Exodus 13 now. Exodus 13. Wow. Okay, where am I? Verse 3. Okay. And Moses said unto the people, remember this. Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt. In other words, when you become born again, you are to remember that day. Remember what you came out of. Remember who you were. Remember what you were. Remember the bondage that you were in. Remember the filth that you wallowed in like a pig. Remember. Don't forget. Keep that in mind. Always remember. Know who you are. Be able to look in the mirror and see yourself. Can you see that? Can you do that? Are you able? Are you willing? Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Oh, can you see that? Every one of us came out from the house of bondage. Not a one of us here can say that we were not in bondage before we came to know the Lord. Those of you who know the Lord. Goes on to say, for by strength of hand. Did you see that? It's not by your strength, not by my strength, but by God's strength. For that by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Do you know what that means? Please. Please hear me. Leavened bread is the same as eating the leaven of wickedness. Jesus is calling these people to a time and a place where they would be reminded of what God so graciously did by His own blood, by His own hand, by His own strength, delivered His people. Even though they didn't perhaps deserve it, but God remembered the covenant that He had had with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and delivered His people from out of that house of bondage because He heard their cry. Isn't that gracious and merciful of an almighty God who doesn't have to do that? That leavened bread of wickedness. That wickedness of every kind. Rebellion, sin of every kind, filth. And it goes on to say now remember, everything in the Word of God is written for a reason. It's all there, written for a reason. This day came ye out in the month of Abib. What does that mean? Oh boy. Abib. You know, in those days, barley was ripened. It was ripened unto Abib. It was the month of harvest. It was ready to harvest. And so it was. Abib was a stage where barley was ripe unto harvest. Did you know that? Abib. And this was the day that the Lord would rewrite the calendar for the Israelites. This would now be the first month of the rest of their lives. The first day of deliverance of the rest of their lives. This was it. The month of Abib, ripe unto harvest. These people were harvested from out of wickedness. These people were delivered and redeemed. And it goes on to say now, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hevites, and the Jebusites, which He sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. In other words, Passover. A day of remembrance. Never to be forgotten from generation to generation. And there's only one way that you're not going to be able to forget that, and that's if you're living a consecrated life. And that's if you're living a life dedicated to the Lord. Because remember, our memory is oftentimes as short as the nose is on our face. Sometimes we can't look past our nose and get lost thereafter. Beyond that, sometimes we get all confused. And we need God's help every moment of every day. Oh, and it goes on to say here now, in verse 6, 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread. Oh, that unleavened bread of mercy, kindness, respect, love, and honor, preferring one another before yourselves, unselfishness. girding yourself before a holy and mighty God in prayer. Did you know that leaven was the sin that's the spoiled wares of sin that was sold to us, full of misery? And God created a way to deliver us from that. Oh, the spoiled wares of misery. How people hang on to that and latch on to that and won't let go. And it goes on to say now, in verse 7, unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. In other words, seven, my friend, means complete. Seven means complete. When the Lord delivered your soul from sin, death, and hell, it was a complete deliverance, wasn't it? Oh, praise God for that. And it goes on to say now, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. Can you see that? Now I want you to apply that spiritually. Apply that, if you will, spiritually to your own life. Let no leaven be seen with you, in you, or around you for 7 days. Means complete, which means as long as you're a Christian, it's not just a one-time thing and I can go out and do whatever I want to do after 7 days. That's not what it's saying here. No. This is talking about being able to see yourself and to be consecrated to the Lord enough to be dedicated enough to say, look, I need to change. I need to dress right. I need to think right, talk right, act right. It's not trying to be legalistic when I say that. No. No one's perfect. And we all know that. No one knows that more than me. I can speak for myself. But I do know that we are not to put on the clothes of the heathen anymore. Not to live with that bread of leaven in our lives anymore. The Lord paid a heavy price to deliver us from that. Go on to verse 8 now. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. He's going to instruct his children as we ought to. When you're around people that ask you questions, what meaneth this? What does this mean? Instruct that person in the ways of God. Use that as an example to instruct, lead, guide, and direct that person in the way that is right. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand. Did you see that? And for a memorial between thine eyes. Now, did you see that? And the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with the strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Now understand that these phylacteries that they put onto their forehead and their hand was meant to be for good, that they would not use or abuse that. Leave it to man, and no longer, no sooner than he puts it on his forehead and his hand, and pretty soon he's got to try to find a way to make him a little bigger. A little more pronounced to make himself look and feel like he's somehow a little more knowledgeable and holier than his brethren, you see. I want to cement that too, if you don't mind. Just go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And starting in verse 4. Starting in verse 4 now. It goes on to say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Did you see that? Now, what that meant was that the words of God would no longer really be phylacteries on your skin, but in your heart. It was meant to be that you would not forget, that you would always remember, that it would be such a way, such a thing, that would be such an effect on you that you would remember in your heart and in your mind, that you would put it around your neck like a gold piece, like you would put it around you, in you. It wouldn't separate from you. It'd be something that was a part of how you thought every day. And verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way." Who is that way? Oh, look at, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," the Bible says. That's what the Lord said. That's who He is. He is the way. And it says here, "When thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them up for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates." In other words, that is saying around and in you and through you, on your heart. He said, on the gates, on the posts of thy house, like the blood was written, like the blood was put there, and the Lord passed by them. It was on the doorposts, the gates, the pinnacle of their house. The blood was there, protected them. But you see, the devil uses what God intended to use for good. Now the devil is coming out, as we already know, that those who would receive a mark on their forehead or on their right hand would receive the mark of the beast. Isn't that right? The devil is a great counterfeiter. And quickly, if you go with me, just, I'm not going to go through the whole book of Matthew 23, but I do want to stop there for one or two verses. Matthew 23, very pronounced in what the Lord is trying to show His people. Matthew 23. Oh, praise God. Here. I'm just going to start in verse 2. No, let's just go to verse 1. 5 is the targeted verse. But bear with me here as we read through this. "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to His disciples." Did you know that the Lord speaks to His own? He speaks to His disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works." In other words, don't do as they do. If they have something good and profitable that they would have you to do, do it. But don't follow their footsteps of hypocrisy. Don't walk after the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all these others of that ilk. That observe ye do it, but do not ye after their works. For they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders. Did you see that? All the ceremony and pomp and Obama signing these executive orders, and you see all these people around his desk smiling and signing these executive orders and causing more, causing us to have to make brick without the wheat to like the Israelites. Causing us to have to find a way to live with less money all the time. Taking things away, goods and services. Taking our money, we've all got to share, you see, so all these deadbeats can get what you worked all your life for. Isn't that right? Full of hypocrisy. Dead men's bones. Sepulchers. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works, now get this, they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garment and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue. Oh, they love the greetings of the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Are you sick yet? Because I am. That's putrid. How that the world acts. And we're not to follow after the world. It's a deadly disease. Back in Exodus now. And it goes on to say here, in verse, why don't we just go back to 9 here. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand and a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. Yes, did you see that? In your heart. What comes out of your heart is going to come out of your mouth. Did you know that? What's right here is going to come spewing out of your mouth sooner or later. Right here. Whether for good or evil. And the Lord's law may be in thy mouth, for with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in this season from year to year. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites. In other words, the promised land. We're talking about the promised land. Is there not a theme here, a common theme of redemption in the Word of God? Yes, there is. And the land of the Canaanites, as he swear unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of the beast which thou hast, and make shall be the Lord's. In other words, it is the Lord's. Redemption comes from the Lord. He always makes a way for His own. Let's go to 107 in Psalms. 107. Oh, praise God for that. 107. Talking about redemption, which is so common a theme in how that the Lord seeks to deliver people. Because let me tell you, people oftentimes find themselves trembling on the brink of eternal damnation. But then there comes that bridge of hope. There comes that redemptive story, the life of Christ, redemption's pardon. That outstretched hand reaching out to that poor soul teetering on the brink of eternity, showing great mercy. And it goes on to say in verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." And here it is now, in the book of Psalms 107, verse 2. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." The Lord knows how to pull that sin-sick soul from the edges of eternity, full of mercy and grace and kindness. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so," it says here. You're supposed to shout it out. Let the world know what the Lord has done for you in your life. Don't be ashamed of Him. And it says in verse 3, "And He gathered them out of the lands from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in." But what were they looking for? Oh, that true city. That city of hope. That new Jerusalem. Amen? "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses." Oh, praise God. He reaches into the farthest, darkest reaches to get a hold of your soul. And He pulls you out of it. He plucks you out of the very fires of hell. Amen. Oh, there's only one right way. The one way according to Isaiah 26:7. Goes on to say, "And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation." Oh, that city, that new Jerusalem, according to Hebrews 11:10. Amen. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Did you know that the penalty of sin is an everlasting curse? That penalty, everlasting to everlasting. Oh, and the sinner must die. Isn't that right? Every sinner must die. But let's continue to read here, because there's a lot of hope. And it goes on to say in verse 10, "Oh, such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron." Did you see that? all the agonies of death and dying, over and over and over in the hellfire, in the pit. You will be going over and over, dying over and over and over again in the death pit of hell. If the Lord hadn't reached down and grabbed your soul and plucked you out and saved you. And it goes on to say now here, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. In other words, they turned a deaf ear to God. They could care less. They cared more about their belly, more about their flesh, more about what they were going to be driving in the new vehicle they were going to pick up for how many, you know, thousands of dollars, and the kind of wares they were going to show off, the clothing, and who they would be seen with and heard with. Dropping big names. I know this guy. Oh, the pride of life. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Again, here it is. The most common theme in the Word of God. How that He seeks to save that which is lost. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He hath broken. Did you see that now? Broken the gates of brass. He had cut the bars of iron asunder. Oh, you'd see the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus will satisfy all claims. Every foe to the blood of Jesus will be slain. Every enemy will be broken down. Cut down, torn asunder. For we have that hope. The Lord is our defense, as we'll later read. He's our defense. Fools of their transgression, and because of their iniquities are afflicted. Did you see that? God offers you a free hand of salvation. But they have become fools and erred therein because they love sin. They love the ways of death more than the ways of God. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. Doesn't that remind you of the meat of the Word of God? The meat that God gave them in the desert, they abhorred. They so greedily sought after, and then the Lord gave it to them, and they filled it, their mouths, and they vomited it out because they couldn't handle it. Isn't it true that people want more than that they can handle? They think they want this, and they think they want that, but what they really need is God's will. What they really need is God's perfect will working in their life to speak to their hearts. In due time, people make mistake after mistake after mistake by rushing into things that they don't belong. By doing things that they have no right doing because they were impatient and they didn't wait. And it's too late. Many will find themselves on the other side because they didn't wait on God. They didn't wait on God. They wanted it now. They wanted their cake and they wanted to eat it too. Immediately, if not sooner. And it goes on to say here, Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. And every time the chains are broken, that bondage of chain, that house of bondage is broken asunder. Oh, the mercies of God. And yet men take that for granted and they curse God. and they mock God. God help us all. In verse 20, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, the prisoners that the Lord set free. Amen. Oh, from that prison house, I'm reminded of how Peter and Silas, or Paul and Silas rather, even Peter, they were all bound up in the prison house. They were all set free. How that they would praise God and give God the glory because they weren't ashamed of His name. And they weren't ashamed to praise Him in front of people, in front of others. They weren't afraid to sing the praises of God. And look what the Lord did for that soul. He did miracles and He delivered them. He delivered them. Set them free. And people neglect so great a salvation, don't they? Oh, the great sin of neglect. And it goes on to say in verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them, oh, hear this now. Are you hearing this? Are you seeing this? Are you listening? And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And declare His works with rejoicing. In other words, praise and worship. Glorifying God. Glorifying God, the only one true God who can deliver your soul from sin, death, and hell. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. Oh, look at this. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind and lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Eternal death. Endless agony of grief and regret, despair, helpless and hopeless, without the hand of mercy. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end, aren't they? Then they cry, here again now, about the fourth or fifth time in this chapter, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out from their distresses. Now I want you to see that common theme. It is a common theme in the whole Word of God. How that even in the old days, how that they cried out to the Lord, and He always rose up. He raised up a deliverer in the book of Judges. And delivered them from their transgressions, their trouble, their helpless state, their mockeries, their whinings, their crying. Oh, the Lord is so merciful, so gracious. He maketh a storm of a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Because you see, every storm and every wave knows the voice of God. You see, in other words, remember this. When you are in that storm, you are in that overcoming wave, you can cry to the God who knows that wave. You can cry out to God because that wave knows the voice of God. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their destined or desired haven. Oh, the Lord guides, he leads. And that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into wilderness and the water springs into dry ground. He has the power to do that. A fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. Oh yes, he knows how to turn a good land into a barren land because of the wickedness and sin of the people. But because when people repent and turn again to God, he'll make that barren land a land flowing with water, goodness and grace. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. Oh, that city. Did you see that type and shadow of the city of God right there? And sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. Oh, praise God. He uses the agriculture and he uses metaphor over and over as a type and shadow to get his point across, to paint that perfect picture for you and me to see and understand. He blesseth them also so that they are multiplied greatly and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Isn't that what happened to Job? Job lost everything he had owned. And the Lord doubled, multiplied his increase. The beginning or the end was better than the beginning in the life of Job. Again, they are menaced and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. Did you see that? He poureth contempt upon princesses and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Oh, he who redeemed you from destruction is able to crown you with loving kindness and tender mercies, ain't he? The righteous shall see it and rejoice. And all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Let's go back now and finish Exodus 13. And I believe we stopped at verse 14, I believe. And it goes on to say in Exodus 13:14, and it shall be when the Son asketh thee in the time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of bondage. Oh, the bondage of Israel. The bondage of religion. The bondage of politics. The bondage of having to feel like you've got to have it all. Selfishness. Greed. Increase. Enough is never enough. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn of the land of Egypt. Because, you see what happened? They held the firstborn of God. And so the Lord killed their firstborn. Both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males. But all the firstborn of my children I redeem. Did you see that? Oh, we just came out of Psalm 107. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, friends. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand and for a frontlet between thine eyes. We already know what that means by now. Let the word of God be written on your hearts. For by strength of hand, and the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. Oh, they took but the road that was narrow. The road called difficult. The only road that leads to life. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh let the people go, that God led them through a way of the land out of the Philistines. Although that was near, you see, did you see that? You see, the Romans, or the Egyptians rather, they had these military outposts all along the way, the shortest route to Canaan. The shortest route, that's the way they would go. Did you see the, can you see that? The paradox. The way of Egypt is the broad way. It's the easy way. But the way of God's people is narrow and difficult. Although that was near. For God said, lest preadventure the people repent. In other words, if they turn around, if they change their minds. When they see war and they return to Egypt. In other words, fear. You see, these people weren't prepared for war. They came out with their pots on their head full of that leavened bread that was yet to be needed. That's why they were leaving in a hurry. When that leavened bread, in other words, and I'll go back to that just a moment. When you knead and you twist that bread, it becomes corrupt. Like you knead and you twist the Word of God. Isn't that true? But they were in such a manner, in such a way, they had to leave Egypt quickly. That is why they had to eat that lamb girded about. They had to have it with a staff in hand, ready to leave at any moment. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. In other words, they went out harnessed. They went out prepared in such a way where they were already, the carts were laden, already harnessed with the animals. They were already, they were ready to go. In other words, when you're in the army, basically, when you're whether you're in the army or you're in the Navy, it doesn't matter. When I was in the Navy, I remember, you had to go with the flow. You had to be ready all the time. And you had to eat quick. And many times being on the boat, and the ship was going like this and like that, in the mess hall, the tables would go from here to there. You would slide across the deck and you would eat your food when you could. And when it would stay for a moment, you would eat a few, some food real quick, and then you'd hang on for dear life and you'd slide across the deck. So it is. These people were harnessed. They were ready to go. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with them. For he had straitly sworn of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. You see, did you know that Joseph was never buried? Joseph's sarcophagus was out there for people to be reminded that the bones would be carried out of Egypt. It was a reminder, a daily reminder, so that the people would keep their eyes on that day. And it goes on to say, God will surely visit you. Oh, to be visited by God. And ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. For God's word is sure. What he promised, he will do. And they took their journey from Succoth. Oh, did you see that? Camped at Etham in the edge of the wilderness. I want you to see something here. Here's Succoth. Right here. Right here. This is where they landed. And I want you to think about something for a moment. As they were coming out of Egypt, out of the land of Goshen, out of Ramses, that 3.5 million people coming out all at once would have been 50 people abreast. It would have been 40 miles long. That 3.5 million people would have left the trail 40 miles long in the desert of people. What a sight to see. It would have taken at the rate of 2.5 miles per hour. It would have taken 16 hours to pass by the same point of reference. It would have taken 30 boxcars of food and over 300 tank cars of water. That's over 7.5 million gallons of water every day for 40 years. And the food. That's not including the animals. That's just including the people. Imagine that now. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud. Oh, to lead them, God, that's God's light. That's God's guidance. And most of all, that is the Lord's presence. In verse 21 here in Exodus 13, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud and led them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and by night. Did you see that? The Lord was their rest, whether they went during the day or night. They could look to that cloud and they could look to that pillar and know the presence of God went with them. What comfort. I was pondering about this the other day. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. And as I was getting up, I got up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I pondered about that. And I went and sat down in my chair and I opened the Bible. And I opened to Isaiah chapter 4. I didn't even know what I was looking for. I just opened the Bible. And my eyes fell on Isaiah 4, 5, and 6. If you can go there. Isaiah. Chapter 4. Verses 5 and 6. And this is what my eyes fell on. I was shocked, and I knew that the Lord was showing me this. Because this is what we need to know and realize and keep in mind, that when the presence of God is with you, what is He going to do as He did with the Israelites? In that 40-year long journey that should have taken just a few weeks ended up being 40 years because of rebellion. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. Did you see that? The Lord was their defense when Israelites came storming out of Egypt. What had happened? The pillar of the cloud stopped and moved from the front to the back to be their defense. We'll get into that later. Not today. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat. Did you see that? And for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. I want to leave that with you today. I want to end right there. Because the Lord, in His presence, becomes that covert. In His presence, becomes that storm shelter. In His presence becomes that safety and defense from every enemy. Did you know that? And when you go before God in prayer, who is there to defend you and protect you and make a way where there seems to be no way? God. A pillar of cloud during the day and a flaming fire at night, that you might be able to see in front of you. Praise God. That's a whole nother sermon right there, my friend. But we want to end right there. Chapter 13, Exodus, part 8. Come out from among them. The Bible says, and be ye separate. And I will receive you. That's what the Word of God says. Amen. Praise God.